The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
I'm Natasha Parry from Diabetes Isle of Man.
Hiya, I'm Amber Sewell.
Natasha, how did you first meet Amber?
Amber is an amazing mum to Arthur, who is recently six, and he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes just under a year ago. We connected really shortly after Arthur was first diagnosed. And it's funny, it's very much Isle of Man, but we were in a shop in Douglas and Amber recognised me from the charity Facebook page and she just approached me. We had actually had interactions before, just chatting, and she came over to me and introduced herself and told me about Arthur. And so we have really just been in contact and stayed in touch with each other ever since that point. And like I said, it's very Manx, it would only ever happen on Strand Street, but yeah, so we have literally stayed in connection with each other for the year really, and I wanted to bring her along today just to explain how the charity and how the community has positively impacted her.
And it sounds like it really has. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But Amber, before we do then, before we find out a bit more about your connection with the charity itself and how they've helped, just tell us about Arthur.
Arthur's amazing, really. He's taken everything in his stride. At the beginning, obviously, it was overwhelming and it was new and it was nothing that he'd ever seen or dealt with before, never seen around him. And he struggled a bit at the beginning, but he... yeah, really has taken it in his stride, and all I ever hear from people around him is, you wouldn't know. You just wouldn't know, because he's so active and he's so wild. But he's, yeah, he's amazing, and he's really just trying his hardest just to live his best life and make everyone around him proud.
So what was the first thing you noticed that made you think there might be a bit of an issue?
He was just drinking all the time. It didn't matter how much he was drinking. He was just constantly finishing one and asking for another, always using the toilet a lot more than normal. And his teachers were noticing this as well. After a week of this and his sleep being affected, I ended up phoning meds and just... I originally said to them, I'm so sorry if I'm wasting your time, because I just thought it might be an infection or something. And they said, you need to bring him down immediately. I never thought it was going to be something so great a deal. But quite glad that we caught it so early on, because, I mean, we still spent a week in hospital dealing with it and getting the training to be sent home. But if it hadn't have been caught when it had, it would have been a lot worse.
And like you said, you know, people now wouldn't necessarily even know that he has diabetes. And part of that is, I'm guessing, with thanks to the likes of the technology that you can use nowadays, that it sort of helps you to lead a relatively normal life, doesn't it?
Definitely. I wouldn't be where I was now without the technology. I rely on it hugely. So does Arthur. And being able to read what his levels are himself and tell me what we need to do and how we need to deal with the situations is amazing. Yeah, until he learns to do the finger pricks himself, we do rely on the technology massively.
So what does he use?
He has a sensor on his arm, which is connected to his mobile, and that tells us what his blood levels are, whether they're high or low. He has a insulin pump on his leg that connects to like a pump controller, which looks like a phone, and that's how we give him insulin for his meals and whether his levels are high. If it's too low, it will also pause and prevent him from having insulin and having the hypos.
And how has it affected your sort of day-to-day life? Because we're making it sound quite simple, really. It sounds like, oh, you just let the technology do it. Yeah. But there's still a lot of input from you here, isn't there?
There is. I feel like when the more you get used to it, you kind of forget how much you do every day to deal with it. But at the beginning, it was very overwhelming of constantly trying to remember to bring them with us wherever we go and bring like the glucose shots and sweets with us. And when he was first diagnosed, I never had to bring anything with us. It was when he was a baby, it was always nappies and a drink. And then as when he got a little bit older, we didn't have to bring anything else with us. But now it's like, for me, it's the keys, the phone, the purse and the whole bag of everything else for Arthur. But yeah.
And it is, it's an adjustment, isn't it? Because as a mum, you've got enough things anyway to be concerned about with a child that young. And of course, now you've got this to think of as well. So, I mean, it must be a challenge for you.
It is, yeah. But we just take it in our stride. I think the more we worry about it or overthink it, it's never going to change. It's never going to go away. We just have to accept it and get in a really good routine and find what works for us.
And actually, I'm going to bring Natasha back in now as well, because I think one of the things that there's many misconceptions about diabetes, isn't there? And people will assume that it's such a serious thing. It must change your life so dramatically. And yes, as we're hearing from Amber, you have to be aware, especially when it's a very young child. But you can lead a pretty normal life, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have type 1 diabetes myself and have lived with it for 22 years, I think. I think I look pretty normal, and I, well, some people might say that's not the case, but yeah, I think going back to what Amber's just touched on there, I think one thing you might lose is things like spontaneity. Things have to be planned, things have to be thought out. You know, where are we going? Are we going to be doing any exercise, like that, you know, random jaunt up a hill that you might do on the Isle of Man because we're so lucky with the countryside and stuff like that? It's like, well, we have to prepare for that. We have to make sure we have sugar in our bag. We have to make sure that we've eaten enough or we're going to eat afterwards and things like that. And it's just a bit more, I think one thing people with diabetes live with is a mental noise around sort of food, around timings of food that people that don't have diabetes just will not have in their head. And, you know, going back to Amber and Arthur, people that are listening with children who don't have diabetes will know how often they'll be like, can I have a snack? Can I have a drink? Can I have this? Can I have that? If they're out, you know, or they're at soft play or wherever they are, you know, it's very normal for children to just be ravenous and eating whatever they want. But, and it's not that, you know, children with diabetes can't do that, but there's just the thought behind it, you know, right, okay, well, what are you going to eat or when are you going to have your dinner and things like that. So we do live normal lives, but there's just a lot more noise, I would say.
Yeah. And obviously when you're as young as Arthur is, Amber, he goes off to school. And so you do have that time, don't you, where he's away from you and he's sort of in someone else's care. And of course, there's been a lot in, Natasha's talked a lot to us recently about school meals. There's been changes there as well. How has he coped in school with this?
He's handled it really well. I don't think he notices much difference. I think it's all kind of behind the scenes for him. He just does what he's told to do, or, you know, if they need to do a finger prick, he'll handle it really well. Probably sometimes better than he does at home. But yeah, he's handled it well. I think originally he was a bit self-conscious going into school and having this new sensor and the pump on his arm and his leg, and a lot of his friends were asking what it was and what he'd done, and he was a bit maybe embarrassed by it. And now it's kind of like he wears it as a badge of honour. Everyone says, oh, you're like a robot and like a transformer. But he is handling school really well, yeah.
And how have the teachers been with him?
A lot of questions on their part, but it's very overwhelming. And I do understand that. It's a lot to learn. And if you've never dealt with anyone who has diabetes, you don't want to mess it up. You do just want to make sure everything's fine. Yeah, so they have the training and I'm always around for them to ask me questions as well. But I feel like it could have been covered a lot more. They should have had a safer space to ask more questions, because I didn't feel confident even after a week in hospital being sent home. I feel like if they're having Arthur 5 days a week, that they should know the ins and outs of everything, and it should be covered massively, a lot more than it has been.
Mm-hmm. Natasha, how well educated are the school system with regards to diabetes?
So it's quite a timely question that you asked that, Christy, because since the issue arose around school dinners, I have been looking into policies and procedures around diabetes in school setting. And as an island, we do not have anything in place in both primary and secondary school settings. I know that individual schools may have their own policies, but again, it's not a blanket, you know, policy across the board, which does, to me, you know, it's a risk, really, then, when you have a child arrive in a school that has a condition that needs to be managed every day. And I know that that will feel overwhelming for teachers, head teachers, anybody who comes into contact with that child. But as a charity, we want to prevent that feeling of overwhelm, because there's no need for it. It's all about education. It's all about, you know, support, be that through training, be that through, you know, additional time spent with parents or whichever. And that's something as a charity that we want to work towards, is having the government create a policy, you know, as a safeguard, really, for children in school settings.
Because the thing is, we were hearing from Amber there, and we've talked to you about many times before, yes, it can feel, as you said, overwhelming. But once you understand the process, it's actually quite simple to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It's carbs in equals, you know, blood sugar raising, and insulin brings your blood sugars down in the very, very simplest terms. But of course, you've then got hormones to play with, you've got sports, you've got, you know, illness, the weather, you know, all that sort of thing will totally affect the blood sugars. And you can do the same thing every day, give the same amount of insulin, and you'll get different readings, because that's how our bodies work. But there is very much a basic, you know, understanding and knowledge of diabetes that would help with just the management and the treatment of that with children in schools. I think also, you know, we have to look towards the child's experience at school. If they feel a worry or a fear from the caregivers that they have in their school settings, that there's not a confidence there, you know, the child may then resent going to school or feel worried themselves and start resenting their condition, you know, that they can't live a normal school life because of diabetes, which is just not the case. So yeah, as a charity, it's something, since, you know, since the lunch issue has been raised and we've started to look into it, that we want to try and change on the island.
So what would the ideal picture be for you?
So I think, as anything, education and training is just the key, really. And whether that becomes part of, you know, the inset day training that teachers do, I know, before they go back into the school year, you know, whether there's a child in the school or not, I just feel that having the knowledge, starting somewhere, isn't it? It's having the awareness about diabetes, and it's starting from the very basic level. You may find that some schools on the island have had diabetic children in them forever, like, because of the way that the school has worked. You know, a child's gone in reception, they've been in year six, and then another child's come in. So you'll have some schools that are well versed on having a child with diabetes in their school setting. Other schools may not have come in contact with a diabetic child at all. And so when that does happen, there needs to have been some basic level understanding about diabetes, I would say, across, you know, in through the whole school, in the kitchen, everywhere, to understand what it means. And it's just to prevent any issues arising, I guess. You know, a severe hypo on school grounds would be really upsetting for everybody involved. So it's prevention of that sort of thing arising. But I would love to see a standardised training programme for those schools that do have children with diabetes in them. And yeah, I'm sure the parents of children with diabetes now and previously, where their child's gone through school, they would totally get behind us with that.
Yeah.
And someone like Amber here is obviously a great ambassador to be able to actually relay your experience to the school itself. And it sounds like, Amber, you have been speaking to the teachers on this level and actually educating them yourself.
Yeah. I feel like I've kind of been left to train them, but I understand that each day there's going to be new problems, and they're going to have new questions, and they can't always consult the hospital, they're not always going to be available. But there needs to be a space where they don't feel they are causing a burden by asking little questions. Mm-hmm. Because you don't just have the training and you know everything. There's so many different things that could happen, and not everyone will know how to deal with them. Mm-hmm. Even myself, there's times that we just kind of have to go through different protocols and different ways of dealing with it just for the best outcome. But I think when they have the training, it shouldn't just be you're taught everything and that's it, you just go and deal with it now. It should just be, this is the basics, but if we need to speak any more, that they're available, and they just don't seem to have that option.
And of course, we're talking about schools here, but then this carries on through the rest of your life with the workplace as well. I mean, how has it affected you as a parent with regards to your work?
Very difficult. I wasn't able to stay in work. I'm now registered as Arthur's full-time carer because I had to keep leaving work to go to the school to help them with pump changes or sensor changes, which they're not trained in. They don't know how to deal with any of it. So unless I am available, Arthur will just end up back in hospital. So being able to work alongside trying to look after Arthur just seemed very difficult. In the end, I wasn't fulfilling my contract at work, and I understood completely that it was going to be raised to a higher department. But from my perspective, I have a child and I'm never going to choose work over his life. I'm always going to be at his beck and call if he needs me. So to be given the opportunity to become his carer has taken a massive weight off of my shoulders. But there are parents out there that don't have that. Both parents are involved and they are able to work, and there's always one that will be available for the child. In my situation, I feel like I'm very much in it alone, and if I didn't have the charity to turn to, I probably wouldn't feel as strong as I do now dealing with it.
And that's the thing, on the Isle of Man, we are so fortunate to have charities like Natasha's charity. Definitely. To actually be there and support. And Natasha, it's about community, isn't it? Because I know we've spoken to you before about this, that everyone comes together, don't they? And, you know, you offer that sort of for people who are going through this for the first time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Amber obviously talks about how she felt like she was alone at that point. But then, you know, through connecting with me and then going to the different events that we've had run specifically for children with diabetes, but also for the parents to mix, because they've all got shared experience of their child at one point being diagnosed and then having to navigate, you know, areas like school. I guess once they grow up, they reach different points and stages of life all together at the, you know, so they've all got experience of that. And we, as a charity, we run a WhatsApp group with parents in the WhatsApp group. So anybody forgets a sensor or needs something dropping to them or anything like that, it's like this amazing little community on a phone that is available at any time. So yeah, I think, you know, I'm really proud of that in terms of the charity's work, because it just makes people feel less alone, and it just brings a community together.
So it is a challenge, but at the end of the day, there's support out there, Amber, which is really important, isn't it? Like, if someone's listening and they're going through what you were going through about a year ago, you know, sort of finding out that a family member has been diagnosed, what words of advice or support would you have for them?
You don't have to be alone just because you feel alone. It's really easy to just put your guard up and feel like you need to handle the situation on your own, maybe because you have previously in different situations, but the help is there for a reason. And they will be as supportive as they can be in every situation, whether that's for your child or for you. There will always be someone to talk to and a safe space.
It is a huge period of adjustment when you're going through a diagnosis like this. This is going to be something that you're going to obviously have to do with, as Arthur will as well, but he's got opportunities, he's got possibilities. What does he want to be? Has he talked to you about what he wants to do when he grows up? He's only little, but you never know.
He's only little. I don't know, he'd be Batman if he could, but I'm not too sure yet. But he he'll be anything he wants to be. He's very, his mind's switched on. He's very stubborn, and if he wants something, he's going to get it.
Well, this is good. That's exactly what you need.
Definitely determined.
Just like his mum.
Well, it's been really interesting chatting with you today, Amber, and we wish you and Arthur all the best.
Thank you.
He's a little celebrity now. He's been
We should have brought him.
Next time, bring him up with you. Bye-bye. We'd love to meet him anyway. Arthur might actually be listening to this. So have you got any message for him?
I asked him this morning if there's anything he wanted me to say on his behalf for the charity, as he's met so many new friends there and they've all taken him under their wing. And it was amazing for him to meet other children with sensors and pumps and show him a new lease of life that he's not alone. And he said, can you just tell them that I love them?
Oh, that's gorgeous. Oh, Natasha, that must be so lovely to hear.
It is. And it's the very reason that we do what we do. Arthur's six and he feels that way. I walk down the street and if I see somebody with a Libra sensor on in town, I feel exactly the same. I'm like, they're part of the crew. they're like me. So it doesn't end there. You know, once you meet other people and you don't need to tell each other, you know, you've got diabetes, you just understand. And I think, you know, that's totally what the charity is about. It's connecting those people.
And for you, Amber, probably connecting with the parents.
Definitely. It was heartwarming for me to meet other people going through the same thing because I did feel alone. And just for the random conversations of how you handle dinner time and birthdays and cakes and things like that, it's amazing to just hear their side of it and not feel alone.
And Natasha, just remind people again where they go to find out more information about the charity itself and get support.
Yeah, of course. So you can find us at Diabetes Isle of Man, all one word, all lowercase.com. And we are on all the social media channels as well as at Diabetes IOM.
1 to 3 with Christy D, the midday show with flavour. Thanks to Smash and Fry, open daily from 12 across from the library on Duke Street.